You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello to the people. It is I, Aaron the Brain, and Josh is not here today. So welcome to this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. It's going to feel a little bit different, but it is still brought to you by the Dolphins Talk Network, proudly part of the Dolphins Talk Network. And speaking of the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network, we have here a special guest to co-host this show for me, because God knows you don't want to just listen to me for however long this show lasts. With me tonight, Dolphins Talk himself, Mike Oliva. Say hello to the people, Mike.
Hello to the people. Now, you see, you already screwed up the graphic. You're under Josh's side, and I'm under your side underneath.
Oh, but well, let's
you got to do the switcheroo. There you go. Okay.
Now, and if you're watching, and if you're watching on YouTube, you cannot find Mike at Amplified to Rock. That's where you would find Josh. You can follow Josh there on Twitter or X or whatever they're calling it. But Mike, why don't you go ahead and tell the people where they can follow you, as if they didn't know.
Oh God, I know, really. You can follow me on Twitter, Threads, Instagram at Dolphins Talk. But the most important thing, just go to the website, DolphinsTalk.com, each and every day for all the latest.
All right. So are we pumped? Because I'm pretty pumped. We've got ourselves a big game this Sunday. It's for the second time, well, maybe the third time, depending on how you felt about that opener against the Chargers. But really, for the second time this season, the Dolphins come into a game, a road game, no less, and it just feels like it's a measuring stick game, litmus test game, whatever you want to call it, big game, playoff feel. Two teams coming in at 5-1 with not just playoff aspirations, Super Bowl aspirations. It's got a big game feel to it. Obviously, it didn't go the way the Dolphins wanted it to go the last time they had one of these measuring stick games. So it feels like there's a lot of pressure on Miami to perform in this big game. It's the game of the week. It's on Sunday Night Football. It's on national television, unlike that other game. I mean, granted, that game against Buffalo, I think, was still the game of the week as far as 1 o'clock, you know, afternoon games. So still the majority of people saw it. But you know how it is. You know, if you're following your team, you're not really watching that other game at 1 o'clock. You're not hiding from anybody this week. Sunday Night Football, all eyes on the Dolphins and Eagles. How you feeling about it, Mike? You pumped?
I am pumped because, as they say in life, pressure is privilege. And there's a lot of pressure on the Dolphins this week. It's, you know, their first game versus the Bills. Let's start this way. Every season in the NFL, nobody cares what you did last year. They really don't. So this year, the Miami Dolphins are off this 5-1 start, off to a super fast start, breaking records on offense, points in spades all over the place, score running, score passing. But the one thing on their resume, and it's not their fault, they didn't make the schedule, is who have they beat? You know, you beat the Panthers. Okay, they haven't won a game. You beat the Broncos. They're a big hot mess. Okay. The Chargers always choke, and Miami took advantage of them. Okay. The Giants had like half the team on IR that week. Okay. They had their one chance versus the Bills, and they pooped the bed. Losing in Orchard Park, not the end of the world. Now you get a second chance against the defending NFC champions in their building, Sunday Night Football. We're waiting all day for Sunday night. And Miami is going there to get respect. Now, win the game, you got respect. Just don't get blown out. If they lose by a field goal, they lose in the nail biter, you tip your cap to the Eagles. They made one or two more plays, And it is what it is. You lost to a very good team on the road. That's still, you can get respect in a loss if it's a close game. What you can't do is go up there and poop the bed again and lose 48-20, 35-10, something along those lines. Don't do that. Because if you do that, then next week when Chris Sims, Mike Florio, Colin Cowherd, Stephen A. Smith, and everyone else says the Dolphins are pretenders and not contenders, you can't argue with them. Because they've had two chances to prove they're not, and they would have failed. So if they go out there, play tough for four quarters, and win, you got the respect. You go to Philly and win on Sunday Night Football, you got respect. But if you come up a little short, lose by three, lose by six, not the, and you played well, not like you're down by 20, then you scored a bunch late and it was all. Like, you played well. It goes down to the final gun. You can still get respect that way. You have to show the world you belong in the conversation of Super Bowl contenders. So that's where I am with this game.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you. I think, and I said it on the last show, that they don't need to win this game for us to really buy in. And frankly, in the grand scheme of things, if they lose this game, of all the games on the schedule, it's really, you know, one of the better ones to lose because it's not even a conference game. So, you know, it's going to be really low on the totem pole as far as tiebreakers. If you're talking about whether you're talking about winning the division, you know, potentially a tiebreaker with Buffalo, or you're talking about seeding, potentially a number one seed, because, you know, I know it's early to talk about number one seeds, but if we have Super Bowl aspirations and we think this team is what we think it is, then that is a goal that you have in mind. And that is something that come down the stretch, we may be talking a lot about. You know, losing to the Eagles would not be the worst thing in the world. But I think that you're 100% right. This game is really about respect, and it's about national respect. And in the grand scheme of things, that might not matter a whole lot. Like, 12 weeks from now, what the national media is saying about the Dolphins in week six. But as a Dolphin fan and as a sports fan in general, when you go and you turn on talk radio or you go on and you put on your favorite show that's talking about the NFL, if you lose this game and you lose it convincingly, you're going to hear it all week long. And you really, as a Dolphin fan, you can't even really bitch about it. You just got to take it. If we lose a close game, you're still probably going to hear it. Fair or not, you're still probably going to hear it. But you may make a few, you know, you may have a little bit of a gripe and an argument. Not that it really matters, but I think we're all at the point now where we're tired of moral victories. And we don't really want that moral victory. And we want to shout from the hilltops that this team is different and that this team is a contender. And this is an opportunity to do that. And granted, it doesn't, again, it really doesn't matter if you're a contender in October. What matters is if you're a contender in January and most importantly, February. That's what really is going to matter. But for our sanity as Dolphin fans, this would be a really big win for Miami, and it would be a really crushing defeat if they went up there and got their asses handed to them. So I agree wholeheartedly. It really is about respect. So I want to talk about the matchups.
One more thing real quick. It is about respect. It's also about progress. You know, from where we were in 2019, where we were god awful, people were saying, you know, guys are going to get hurt on the field. You guys aren't even trying to win. Then where we took a leap in 2020, then 2021, then last year they make the playoffs. The next step in the progression to hopefully eventually win a Super Bowl is to beat good teams, and we really haven't done that. Our last, I probably have to look at the schedule. The last, I say, big win on the road Miami had was at the Ravens last year. That was week two. It's nice. Don't get me wrong. It's nice. Great comeback. Great day from Tua. It was week two. It's nice. Now we're in October, middle of the season, kind of. What, week seven of a 17-game season? Let's go into Philly, who was in the Super Bowl last year and probably should have won it. And let's beat them in their house. because that would show progress and this progression that we need to see from this organization and team to get to the ultimate goal. And if they don't win this week, like I said, not the end of the world. In 2 weeks in Germany, we're going to have another opportunity. But it'd be nice just to get this out of the way this week and be like, we belong. We belong in the conversation when you talk about all the top tier teams.
Yeah, because if you lose this game, you are going to get another opportunity in a couple of weeks for that measuring stick game. And that one really is more important in the grand scheme of things. And it's a neutral field, a neutral site game. So you'll have less excuses about, you know, winning on the road. You know, is it tough to win on the road, whatever. But also, you're going to hear about it for 2 weeks if we lose this football game. Even if we lose a close game, you're still going to hear about it for 2 weeks about how the Dolphins are good, but they can't really beat anybody that's good. They can't really beat a legit contender. So
the Jets just beat the Eagles. Just want to point that out. The Jets.
Right.
And Zach Wilson beat the Eagles.
And the thing is, well, let me ask you a question. Does that say more about the Jets or does that say more about the Eagles?
Probably says more about the Eagles, but I'd say this. The Jets beat the Bills and the Eagles. If Miami loses to the Bills, which Jerry did, and if they lose to Philly, Jets fans are going to be there with their 3-3 victory or their 3-3 record being like, who the hell have you guys beat? We're a couple games behind you, but you guys don't beat. No, they're going to have a reason to chirp, even though I think we all know not quite as good as Miami. But so I think it says more about the Eagles because I got back to the hotel after that game, and I saw the end of that game. And I don't know what the hell Nick Sirianni was doing with the Jets. They have no timeouts. There's a, like a minute and a half left. If he just runs the ball and punts and forces Zach Wilson to go 60, 70 yards in like less than a minute, that ain't happening. They probably win. They gave that game away. But the Jets won, and that's all that matters. So they can pound their chest and say, we beat the Bills week one. We beat the Philadelphia Eagles. No, yeah, we did it with Zach Wilson.
Yeah, well, frankly, I think it might say more about the Jets, to be perfectly honest.
I think the Jets
are
going to hang around and be a pain in the ass. That's what I think.
I think the Jets – look, don't forget that there's a reason why people were talking about the Jets being a Super Bowl contender this year, and it wasn't just because Aaron Rodgers was there. Aaron Rodgers wouldn't have gone there if the Jets weren't already an elite defense and he was just there to fix the offense. So – This was a Jets team that was very much in the conversation for a playoff spot going down the stretch last year, and they kind of fell apart. But that defense is absolutely legit. And so what you have to keep in mind when you say, hey, the Jets beat Buffalo, hey, the Jets beat the Eagles. Well, hey, those games against the Jets that maybe when Aaron Rodgers got hurt, we were all saying, well, those now we could definitely chalk up as W's. I don't think you can do that. And look, if the Dolphins were to, let's say, lose this game against Philadelphia and the Jets were to go out and win this week, well, now the Dolphins are only a game up on both the Jets
off
and
this week. The Jets are off this week, but they play all the right, Giants well, next week.
Well, you'd be a game ahead in the loss column.
Exactly.
You'd be a game ahead in the loss column. So I don't think we – look, am I losing sleep over the Jets?
No, I'm not.
No. I'm not losing sleep over the Jets. And at the end of the day, I feel confident that we'll finish with a better record than the Jets. But it's something to keep an eye on. And and to your point, what it says about the Eagles is that the Eagles are having issues on the offensive side of the ball. Granted, the Jets have a great defense. But this offensive struggle for the Eagles, it's not just this week. They've been struggling for a few weeks now. And, you know, that means that if the Dolphins offense brings their A game, they should be able to win this if the defense just plays an average game. And so I want to get into the matchups a little bit because we'll talk about, well, what does the Dolphins defense have to do so that this doesn't turn into, you know, what happened against the Chargers, what happened against the Bills? Can this defense actually play that average game against a really good offense, even though that Eagles offense is struggling a little bit? So We'll talk about the matchups. What is one matchup, Mike, that you're most looking forward to seeing? Or let me put it this way. What is one matchup that you think will ultimately determine who wins this football game?
Yeah, I think Miami on offense, they get their points against almost anybody. Now, they might not score 40 this week or anything, but they're going to get their share of points just because that's how that offense is kind of built. So to me, it's the other side of the ball. And I want to see Miami's pass rush versus Philadelphia's offensive line. Now, Lane Johnson, the right tackle for the Eagles, left the game against the Jets. And when he did with an ankle injury, that offensive line, it didn't crumble, but it came pretty close to crumbling. Lane Johnson, the last time he gave up a sack was 2020. He was limited in practice today. No word if he's going to start or not. If he starts, it'll probably be less than 100%. If he's not on the field, they got issues. And this is one of those big games where we need to see Bradley Chubb, who got all that money. We need to see Jalen Phillips, who we took in round one. I don't want pressures. I want sacks. And we need to see Christian Wilkins, who had a couple sacks last week. They got to stand up. Zach Sealer, he's got to stand up. I need these four guys to get pressure. So I want to see Miami's pass rush against his Philadelphia Eagles. Very good offensive line. But if Lane Johnson is out or if he's less than 100%, there's really no excuse for Miami because Jalen Phillips was back last week. He played. And Zach Sealer we just paid. Christian Wilkins wants to get paid. Bradley Chubb we paid. And we gave up a first-round pick. This is a game we need our big-time players to stand up and do something. So I want to see Miami's pass rush against the Philadelphia offensive line. Because if that pass rush is on, the Dolphins will play well on defense. And if Xavien Howard's less than 100%, we're going to need to get that pass rush to help out the secondary.
Yeah, and you know that's a good point. Brings up a good question about Xavien Howard, and I want to touch on that in a little bit. But my matchup, as much as we're not concerned at all about this Dolphins offense right now, I think this is a new test. They haven't faced a D-line like the Philadelphia Eagles D-line. These guys are absolute monsters. And let's not forget that this offensive line struggled when Teron Armstead went out against Buffalo. And Buffalo, you know, that was a good D-line that they played. But this D-line is like Buffalo's on steroids. Because those monsters in the middle, they are going to wreak havoc. And that they're going to make it, I think, darn near impossible for the Dolphins to be able to run the ball inside. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see how the Dolphins manufacture the running game. I think you're going to see a lot of outside zone, a lot of toss, and then maybe they can get some misdirection in there. Maybe you're going to see some end around action. But then, you know, on the passing downs, you know, protecting Tua. And I think keeping this defensive line off balance, because it's not just the guys in the middle. They've got edge rushers, too. This Philadelphia defensive line and, you know, basically front six, front seven, whatever you want to call it, they can all get after the quarterback. And they did it at a historic pace just last year. And it's basically the same guys plus a rookie in Jalen Carter who's been really, you know, wreaking havoc as well. So I think that this Eagles defensive front is going to be a huge test for the Dolphins offensive line. It's a huge test for Kendall Lamb because it's one thing, you know, to play well against the Panthers and against the Giants. Not that those are bad defensive fronts, but it's different to do it against this team. And if Connor Williams, God forbid, does not play, I know we were all, you know, high and praising Liam Eikenberg for having his best game ever. Like, that says a whole lot with the bar that he set so far in his career. But if Liam Eikenberg plays in this game and he plays well against Philadelphia, then I'll be a believer in Liam Eikenberg. I'd be very, very concerned if Connor Williams doesn't play in this game. I think the Dolphins need to be able to run the football in this game because I think if they become one-dimensional, I think that they're going to tee off, and that's where Tua is going to get sacked. God forbid he gets hurt. We all hold our breath every single time. Yeah. Every single time Tua gets hurt, he's been great so far, and even he's taken some hits, and so far, thank God, he's been 100% healthy, and that's great. But we don't need to see him take a bunch of hits. This is the kind of game where if the Dolphins don't keep the Eagles' defensive front off balance, he could take a lot of hits, and that would have catastrophic, consequences on the way the rest of this season plays out, not just on whether or not the Dolphins could win the game this Sunday. So you did mention a couple of injuries. And so I want to take a look at the injury report. And we'll start on the Dolphins side of things. Andrew Van Ginkle didn't practice. Chris Brooks didn't practice. I don't think Chris Brooks necessarily.
Brooks will be out a while. Yeah.
Doesn't move the needle. Andrew Van Ginkle not practicing on Wednesday or Thursday.
Says he's sick. So hopefully it's a 24-hour bug and it's out of his system here in the next 24, 48 hours. So it's not like an injury per se. It's just an illness. And so hopefully it's nothing too serious. He's been very good. He's been very good this year.
He's been really good. He's been our best, most consistent edge rusher. We've talked about how if you can get Van Ginkle, Chubb, and Jalen Phillips on the field at the same time, it enables you to really move Van Ginkle around and be a little bit of a chess piece. And then you talk about Lane Johnson potentially, being out for this game and how the Dolphins can attack him. Well, that's how you attack him. You put one guy's hand in the ground, and then you put Andrew Van Ginkle on the outside, and you just wreak havoc on that side. And frankly, even if Lane Johnson plays and he's not 100%, I think you go right after him, attack him early, and find out how healthy he is, because I think that could be the weak spot in the Eagles' offensive line. But I think we're in agreement that the bigger concern for the Dolphins on this injury report is really on the defensive side of the ball. And it's not just, really it's Xavien Howard, but Kader Kohu's on that injury report as well. Are both of these guys going to play? Is one of them going to play? Are neither of them going to play?
Howard's the big one because he did leave the game versus the Panthers. I don't think Kohu, I think he played the whole Panthers game. But I think whatever he's dealing with isn't too serious. So I think with Kader, we're going to be okay there. Knock on wood. Xavien Howard, look, he's not the same Xavien Howard he's been the past couple years. We know that. But when you're facing A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith, you kind of need him. You kind of need him. And you kind of need him 100%. Now, I don't know if we'll get him 100%, but because our depth at corner, until we get Ramsey back, is kind of lacking, we kind of need him. Now, Nick Needham, I thought they had to make a call on him prior to this game, but I guess they have technically the next Wednesday. So I don't know about Nick Needham. Now, today in practice, he was limited. If he can go, it'd be a good week to have him back because Eli Apple, I know fans have been tough on him. He's okay. He's just Eli Apple. I don't know what fans expect from him when we signed him. It's like, what expectations did you have? He's okay. But and then, of course, Cam Smith hasn't sniffed the field this year. I don't know if this is the week to throw him out there. We'll see. You might want to ease him in maybe versus the Patriots, who have a less lethal passing attack maybe. But the secondary really is key here for Miami with Howard and Nick Needham. If they can play, I think Kader's going to play. It was a neck injury. I don't think it's bad. That's going to be the thing, because A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith can take over a game. And they're good. I mean, they're really, really good. So who Miami lines up at corner is going to be a big deal this week, and hopefully Xavien can go.
So let's say they both play. Let's say Xavien Howard and Kader Kohu play. You're going to have Eli Apple on the boundary. They've kind of established that since the Buffalo game that they don't really want Kader Kohu. They want Kader Kohu to be playing on the inside. You'll get Jalen Ramsey back in a few weeks, and that'll enable Cater to really just hone in on just being, you know, an elite nickel corner in the slot. That said, if Xavien Howard plays this game, and you know he's not 100%, you've got Eli Apple on the other side. You've got Cater Kohu, who may not be 100%. Do you shadow A.J. Brown with Xavien Howard? Do you just say, hey, Xavien, you're going to follow A.J. Brown every single play? Because, you know, A.J. Brown is we've talked about how the players that are really giving Xavien Howard trouble are the speed receivers because he's lost a step. A.J. Brown is a different kind of receiver. A.J. Brown is a physically dominant receiver, but he's not going to necessarily blow you away with speed. So I kind of feel like maybe this is a matchup that actually Xavien Howard can bring his A game on. And let's face it, for as much flack as we give Xavien Howard, and it is well-deserved, you know, look, you're paying a guy that much money, and he's not really playing at an elite level. He's going to get criticized. He's actually been the Dolphins' best corner, but, and it hasn't really been close this season. So do you shadow A.J. Brown with Xavien Howard?
I think that's the smart thing to do. I don't know if they'll do it, but I would. I mean, I think for all the reasons you said, it's just a smart thing to do because Smith is the quicker of the two, and I'd probably want someone else on him. Because I think he could run by Xavien Howard. It'd be like Xavien Howard on Stephon Diggs. And I don't, that's a matchup Miami clearly didn't want to see week, what was it, 3-4, whatever it was. And I don't think they'd want to see that here with Smith. So I would do it. We'll see what Vic decides. And that's like that's something else that's very interesting here. Vic downplayed it this week. He spent last year with the Eagles. Now he said he got more from them than what he gave them, but he's just being a nice guy. How much does he know about that team, their tendencies, what they want to do? That's going to be just an underlying storyline here with Vic. And because when he helped prepare them for the Super Bowl, he worked with the offense. He didn't work with the defense. So that's something else to remember. Vic sort of has some ties with this Eagles team from last year. So yeah, I would put Xavien Howard on AJ Brown, just have him shadow him. But we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, another thought is that you don't necessarily shadow him, but you roll a safety over to his size,
I would
where he is. And frankly, even if Xavien Howard's shadowing him, I think that's what you do.
Still roll safety. Yep.
Yeah. And so I think if you're going to roll a safety to his side anyway, then you maybe don't need to shadow X with him. But that said, if you don't, and then A.J. Brown hits a big gainer on Cater Kohu or Eli Apple early in this game, you may be second-guessing that decision, you know, pretty early on. So it's going to be a very interesting thing to see. I don't want to spend too much time on the secondary because the truth of the matter is where the Eagles' offense really, where their bread is buttered is with the running game. But what about Nick Needham? Is this the game that Nick Needham comes back? I hear he's playing safety now. And where does he fit into this defense if Nick Needham ends up playing in this game? And what kind of impact can he have?
Well, I would hope if he's active, he would leapfrog Perry Nickerson to be the backup slot corner. I mean, I would hope so. Nothing against Perry. You know, he's probably a nice guy. But I would hope I think he would be that first corner off the bench type of guy, because I think you're still going to have Eli Apple on one side, Xavien Howard, Cater Kohu. And the thing with Nick is he, you know, if they're going to move him to safety, that's a whole different thing they're doing. But at least at corner, he can play the outside, he can play the nickel. He gives you flexibility. If their plan is movement safety, I kind of get it because they don't have a lot of depth at safety. Brandon Jones has kind of been a forgotten guy this year because he really doesn't fit the scheme. So I kind of get it if they do want to move him there because he does have the speed. He does have the range to make up ground with his speed. That's something Brandon Jones doesn't have. So I would understand the logic behind it. But overall, there's a spot for Nick Needham in the secondary because I think the goal is come November, You want to have Ramsey back on one side, Howard on the other, Kader Kohou, then you want to have some depth. And you want to have Eli Apple, you know, not out there as much, but as your first guy off the bench. I think with Ramsey, even once he comes back, you're not going to be on the field for like the entire game. They're going to have to ease him into this here. So he might be on like a snap count too. But so, yeah, there's a spot for Nick because that secondary is thin at corner and it's even thin at safety. But what you mentioned there with the Philadelphia Eagles running game is kind of my fear. Because what we saw last week in the first quarter versus the Panthers, what we've kind of seen every week, if you run up the middle on the Dolphins, up the middle, run at Raekwon, you're going to have success. The Dolphins are not strong up the middle. Long at middle linebacker, he does certain things good. He's good. Let's not go crazy. And Raekwon's not a scheme fit. The biggest thing Chris Greer did this offseason that I really question was John Jenkins walked, which is fine. It's John Jenkins. You don't go nuts, but they never replaced him. They don't have a backup nose tackle. Yep. And they need someone who can give you 20 snaps, 10 snaps, 15 snaps, whatever it takes to just be that run guy in the middle to sort of take on some blockers, eat blockers. They don't have it yet. Hopefully they have one by the end of the month. I don't even think you need to trade for it. I think there's guys sitting home on their couch who could do this job because it's just about size, really. But, yeah, that's my fear is that they're going to run Swift up the middle. He's going to have, like, 22 carries for 137 yards, and they're going to eat up the clock, keep Miami's offense on the sideline. So, to me, that's something else. Hopefully, they can sort of Vic can scheme something here to help stop the run a little bit better than what they've been so far.
Yeah, and, you know, I agree with you that the Dolphins are susceptible to be run on, especially up the middle. And what we're seeing is that it's really happening when either Christian Wilkins or Zach Sealer are out of the game. So I think it's imperative for them to find a rotation where you'd never have both of those guys off the field. You need to have one of those guys on the field at all times. And I think this is the kind of game where you need those guys to play a higher percentage of the snaps because you don't have the guys behind them. Because if you do play Raekwon Davis, if you do play Deshaun Hand, you're susceptible up the middle and you're doing it against a team that wants to run. That's what Philadelphia wants to do. And, you know, I'm not sitting here asking for Christian Wilkins and Zach Sealer to play 100% of the snaps. It's a very physically demanding position. I'd want them to be fresh when you get into the fourth quarter of the game. But you want to get paid. Zach Sealer already did get paid. This is one of those games where you probably need to up that usage and you need to make the impact. But I also think when you look at the Eagles offensively, as far as throwing the ball, they got four guys that they throw the ball to. And it's Swift at, well, it's obviously AJ Brown and Smith. And then it's Dallas Goedert and it's DeAndre Swift. And that's it. Other than that, they've got 19 receptions from the rest of their roster. Over the course of six games. So that's three, and none of those guys are putting up big numbers or anything. So those guys aren't beating you. So in general, you don't have a lot of guys to account for. We've seen that the Dolphins have struggled to bring pressure with four. We know that that is kind of the MO of what this Vic Fangio defense wants to do. I think not just for the passing game, but for the running game, I think this might be a game where you want to bring a little bit more heat, bring a little bit more pressure, whether it's off the edge, whether it's in the middle, and really help your defensive line out a little bit if they've got their hands full, because any kind of stop that you can make to put the Eagles in a bad down and distance, they've got some weapons. AJ Brown is obviously having a monster year so far. Devontae Smith is a great number two receiver, and that's a great tandem. But I think, you know, Jalen Hurts has still struggled at times. Like, let's not forget that this is not a, there's a reason why Jalen Hurts wasn't like, I mean, he was drafted, I think, in the first round, maybe in the second round. So the knock on Jalen Hurts is that if you take away his running game, he's not necessarily going to beat you with his arm. Now, he had an amazing year last year, but he's turning the ball over a little bit this year. I think you can force him into some mistakes, but that starts with winning on first and second down, and that starts with stopping the run. So I think maybe playing a little bit more in the box than usual, kind of like what you did against New England in week two. I think this might be a week where you can kind of get away with it as long as you roll a safety over top and try to take A.J. Brown out of the game. I think if you make Jalen Hurts have to beat you throwing underneath to Smith and Goedert and making them go on long drives, I know people have given Fangio a lot of flack about bend but don't break and how passive it is and nobody likes to see it. But this is an Eagles team that struggled when they've gotten into the red zone this year. And let's face it, if the Eagles put up 450 yards, but they kick three field goals and they end up coming out of this game with like 23 points, the Dolphins are going to win this game.
Good day for Vic.
I don't think that the Dolphins are going to lose this game if the Eagles can't get to 30. And that's kind of where I'm at with this team right now. Granted, the bar will raise a little bit. The expectation will raise when you get, you know, your full complement of players. You get Jalen Ramsey, and then maybe you can really do what you want to do, and maybe they pick up the defense a little bit better, and we start seeing them heat up the quarterback a little bit more, and then maybe we raise the expectations of this defense. But right now, just keep the opponent under 30. And that's all you got to do. And you should win just about every week. So,
well, here's one thing, too, with the Eagles. They only carry four wide receivers. We know about the top two. I've never heard of the other two guys. And look, I follow this league as close as anybody. I've never heard of the other two wide receivers on their roster. So that's they got two main threats in the passing game at wide receiver and the tight end, obviously. The other wide receivers he's throwing to, they could walk to my front door. I would have no idea who they are.
Hold on. I'm looking them up right now.
I think was undrafted. And one, I don't even know. Britton, Covey, and his surname's like an eye chart. Omalati Zacakis.
Zacakis.
We'll go with that. I've never heard of either one of these guys. And they might be fine players. It's just like nobody's losing sleep over them. There's a reason they signed Julio Jones this week, and he ain't going to play, obviously, because he just got there the other day. But there's a reason. They're thin at wide receiver. So that's gonna be interesting. So what you find in those two? Anything?
Oh, that's basically what you got. Got those two guys. Britton Covey.
You have a couple of tight ends. Yeah. That's one of them, Britton Covey.
Yeah, Britton Covey, and then this other guy, Zacakis.
Yeah,
and now they do. Britton Covey right now, I think, has zero receptions on the year.
Well, there you go. Now they do carry a lot of running backs, and they throw to their running backs a lot. So hopefully Baker and Long are on their games, because they're going to be guys who probably will be responsible for picking up those running backs out of the backfield. They got, I would say, four good running backs in Swift, Kenneth Gainwell, Boston Scott, and Rashad Penny. Those are four legitimate NFL running backs. So they take their shots down the field with the wide receivers, but they will throw it short to the running backs because they got nothing after those two wide receivers. I mean, they got nothing.
Yeah. I mean, the other guy, Zacakis, this year, he's got four catches for 74 yards on seven targets. I mean, he gets a target a game, less than a catch a game. So, I mean, these guys aren't beating you. But again, this just goes to the point of if you really – and because, you know, Dallas Goedert, he's not beating you over the top.
Nope.
So this might be a week where, you know, you don't need to play, a bunch of deep coverage. You might want to roll a safety in. You might want to play with an extra guy. And you might want to play with seven guys in the box because – you know, what are you really worried about? I mean, like, if you play with four defensive backs and you roll a safety and you play too high coverage, you're basically taking away the big play from their two big time receivers. And, you know, you're basically now you might want to play a fifth defensive back because you'd rather have a defensive back covering Dallas Goedert. I'm not necessarily, you know, saying we need to play three linebackers. Hell, I don't even know who the third linebacker. I don't want to see necessarily Andrew Van Ginkle playing in a bunch of coverage. I don't know that I want to see Channing Tindall play in this game. Although that'd be nice if Channing Tindall played in this game.
He never plays, period. Never plays at all. So I'm not. But no, what you're saying essentially is you're going to bet that you can send in a blitzer to get to the quarterback before he can find the tight end. That's what you're hoping on. That we can send in, keep someone else in the box who can get to the quarterback before he finds a tight end who might have a favorable matchup. And I take that bet every day of the week because, like I said, if you take out the wide receivers, who's going to beat you? Let's try to get after the quarterback and put him on his butt before he can find a tight end over the middle in a somewhat of a favorable matchup. So, yeah, Vic, this is a big game for Vic. This is a big game. I want to see what he's going to do.
And I think if you give up the catch up the middle – okay, fine. But if you tackle,
it's a first down, but it's not a touchdown.
Yeah, you got to tackle. That's what it got. Because that's a big question right now with this Dolphins defense is tackling. So just don't allow the big play. And I think this defense is going to be fine. And I think that's what this defense is kind of meant to do. As much as everybody kind of hates on the whole bend but not break, you know, idea, I think generally speaking, it's a good strategy. As long as you don't break, as long as you're not giving up the touchdown. If you're going to let them drive all the way down the field and then they score the touchdown, well, then, you know, it doesn't really work. But I do think this is a sort of a bend but not break, but also bring pressure and kind of force their hand a little bit. Don't just sit back. Don't be passive. Make Jalen Hurts have to think a little bit. Rush that clock for him by bringing the pressure. So I want to get into our, you know, hashtag one hot takes for the game and then obviously make our final score predictions. But before we do, Mike, why don't you tell the people a little bit about Caldera Lab?
Caldera Lab is the best. And here's why. They have taken the men's skincare game and they have sort of turned it on its head and they've sort of taken over this world. Because when it comes to skincare products, for decades, it's been aimed towards females. No one's really taken it and sort of shaped it towards men. They figure men don't care. They'll just take a shower, wash your face real quick, and out the door they go. But no, we're living longer. We want to look good for our spouse, significant other. You want to look clean when you're going to the office. You want to have a clean face. You want your skin to be soft. And Caldera Lab, go to their website, calderalab.com. Use the promo code DolphinsTalk. Save 20% in your order. They got so many great products like the eye serum, which helps with the bags under your eyes and with the crow's feet around your eyes to make you look a little younger. They got the base layer for your face. They have an exfoliating soap for when you're in the shower. And they got the beard. It's called the beard, which is a beard oil to help keep your skin silky smooth around your beard and have your beard be silky smooth as well. They have so many great products for men. And here's why they're the best. They know men are lazy. They're not going to put a lot of time sitting there in the bathroom, putting stuff, put on the one thing, rinse it off, put on something else, rinse it off. No, all their products are pretty simple. It takes 1 minute in the morning and it takes 1 minute at night. You just put it on, rub it in, and you're done. CalderaLab.com, promo code Dolphins Talk, save 20% on your order.
So we've got this big game. We've talked a little bit about the matchups. Let us know if you're watching on the YouTube page. And remember, you could always watch us on the YouTube page, Dolphins Talk on YouTube. Make sure you like and subscribe this video and make sure that you're signed up for notifications when we go live so you can join in on the fun on YouTube. If you are on the YouTube page, let us know what your hashtag, or if you're watching on the I am a Miami Dolphins fan page on Facebook. You can be watching this live and you can get in on the chat and you can, let us know what you think. What is your hashtag one hot take for this game. Mike, well, before Mike gives his hashtag one hot take, I need to address this comment here from Nick Stanton.
And Nick Stanton was one of our winners of the 2022 our website Military Fan of the Year contest. So Nick's been a longtime listener to our site, and he was one of the two honorees who was brought in the field last year for his service in the military and won the 2022 Dolphins Talk Military Fan of the Years. So we love Nick. But okay. That's a nice comment.
So he says, I'm going to need Aaron in a Dolphin shirt on one of these streams. And I occasionally will wear a Dolphin shirt.
You do. I've seen you in one of the streams.
I don't do it often because, you know, I like to consider myself as the objective fan, not the homer fan. I don't get too rah-rah. But on occasions that I feel like it's warranted, you will see me in some Dolphins paraphernalia. For example, after week three, when the Dolphins put up 70 points against the Broncos, I was in my Dolphins windbreaker. And I'll tell you what, if the Dolphins go up to Philadelphia, well, let me preface this. I put on that windbreaker last year when the Dolphins went to 8-3. And then we all saw how that went. And then I put on the windbreaker after the Dolphins put up 70 points against the Broncos and then went to Buffalo the next week.
So are we sure we want you to buy? This is like Tom with his jerseys. Tom goes to the store every year at Hard Rock Stadium, buys a jersey, and ruins some poor athlete, young athlete's career. Now, this year, we went to the store once we landed on Friday, and Tom walked around, bought something for his newborn son, bought something for his youngest daughter, bought something for his wife, bought a couple of T-shirts for himself, and he was looking at jerseys, maybe an H-Chan jersey, maybe this one. He was holding them up, looking at him, looking, and he didn't buy one. And I said, congratulations. H-Chan has suffered enough this year already with this knee injury. He didn't need it to be made worse by you. And thank God you didn't go by someone else and ruin their career. So you wearing stuff on here is very similar to Tom. It's like the jinx.
Yeah. So, you know, if we win this game, I'm going to be very tempted to wear the windbreaker on the next show.
And how about a hat?
Tempt face to look. A hat?
Like a hat. Wear a Dolphins hat.
I don't know that. Oh, I do have a Dolphins hat.
You have one. Dolphins, yeah.
You know I have one because you bought me.
I know you got one. Yeah, I bought you that one.
I mean, do I really want to cover up these beautiful?
I don't know. Locks? No, I wouldn't cover those locks. Yeah.
But anyway, if the Dolphins win this game, I will break out the windbreaker. I'm not certain that I'll drink the Kool-Aid yet, but I'll break out the windbreaker.
You could always hold it up and not wear it. Just hold it up.
It's true. It is very hot down here. And even though
we keep the
temperature low in the apartment here in Davie, it's very hot and humid. We got like 2 days where it got into like the 60s in the morning. Yeah, it was nice. Was there. Yeah. No, not when you were here. It was earlier this week, but it was we're right back up into the, you know, feels like 95 degrees based on my afternoon walk that I took this afternoon. But let's talk about our one hot takes. Let's make our predictions after that. What is your one hot take for this game, Mike?
Okay, here's my one hot take. He's been injured this year, so he hasn't really played too much in our lineup. Even last week he played. He only had one tackle for the game because he was on a little bit of a snap count. I think, you know, going into this year, the one guy everyone had very high expectations for was Jalen Phillips. And it's kind of, you know, once again, he got hurt. It happens in the NFL. But everyone thinks this guy is a megastar. And you need megastars to make big-time plays in big games like this. My one hot take is Jalen Phillips has a two-sack performance on Sunday night against the Philadelphia Eagles.
I like it. I like it. I like it so much that I almost love it. And so I loke it. That's what I said. I loke it. My one hot take is also on the Dolphins defense. The Dolphins defense has not forced a turnover since the Denver game. I think the Dolphins flipped that script a little bit. I think they get a turnover, but that's not a hot enough take for me. I'm going to say the Dolphins get two turnovers in this football game.
There we go. And I see in our chat here, we got some others that are very similar to that.
Let's see. We got Ray Finkel says, one hot take. Miami wins off an interception in overtime. One hot take. Very much in the same vein. Trent Shepard says, Javon Holland, pick six. Tervalis Tinker says, we get four rushing touchdowns.
That's not crazy this year. That's not crazy this year, the way they're running the ball.
The way Raheem Mostert's going. I mean, how many of those rushing touchdowns does he get? Oh, I should mention, Josh's one hot take. Really going out on a limb? Alec Ingold, rushing touchdown.
Yes,
for I think the third or fourth week in a row. I think he's going to die on that hill until Alec
until it happens.
Gets a rushing or I don't know if he said rushing or receiving touchdown. At this point,
receiving. It's receiving.
He said receiving.
I'm here touchdown. On Twitter. I have the ones on Twitter. If you want me to read them, we got a couple. Yeah. Josh says Alec Ingold with a receiving touchdown. Rich Miller, also a longtime listener to all of our podcasts, says the Miami Dolphins win, and I can laugh at all my first graders that are Eagles fans. Jordan Murray, one hot take. Van Ginkle, defensive touchdown to seal the game. A lot of people think we're scoring on defense this week. Wow.
A lot of people are wishful thinking. That's right.
We're going to wish this into existence. Jay Max, Jalen Hurts is ineffective and replaced. Huh? This doesn't make sense. I think he's trying to be funny. Jalen Hurts is ineffective and replaced by Tua at halftime, who throws a bomb to Devontae Smith and leads the team to victory, which is a playoff. What happened in the Alabama game, the national championship game? Obviously, we know that can't happen. But, yeah, so a lot of the one hot takes are on the defensive side of the ball. And I think it's because a lot of people have faith in Miami's offense. They're going to do their thing. Now, maybe they don't score 40, like I said. Maybe they score 28. Maybe they get to 30. Maybe they even score 24. But I think this game's going to be won or lost on what the Dolphins' defense can do. You know, I know fans were complaining last week, and they even complained against the Giants game when they had like 8 or 9 sacks. And I get it. They're not a perfect unit. And I know they got some guys out, and it's a new scheme, which everyone's still trying to get on the same page, but they haven't been awful. And I know the Giants aren't great offensively, and either are the Panthers, and either are the Patriots. I get it. Either are the Broncos. But the defense, aside from the Bills game and the Chargers, has, you know, it's been fine. And as more guys start to trickle back in the lineup, hopefully this week Nick Needham, hopefully we get Jalen Phillips out, you know, more involved on that side of the ball. They're going to get a little better each week. It's going to continue to grow. And as they get more comfortable in that scheme each week, they're going to get better. And hopefully Vic's got something special here for this Philadelphia offense, which can be very dynamic with a running quarterback, the two big wide receivers, a good tight end, four good running backs like to run the ball. Hopefully Vic's got something up his sleeve here. So I think a lot of fans are hopeful that they're going to do something on that side of the ball this week. We'll see. It can't be as bad as the Bills game. That's all. I keep saying that to myself. It can't be as bad as the Bills game. And if it is, stay up late Sunday night because our post-game wrap-up show will be very entertaining with me. If this game plays out like that Bills game, that's all I'm going to say.
So, Mike, you want to make a prediction here?
I have made my prediction on Wednesday night with Ian. It's the same prediction I'm going to give here. The Eagles got two new coordinators this year. They haven't been simpatico as like they were last year, where everything's like a well-oiled machine. They also got some injuries in the secondary, and I think Miami can take advantage of that. Even if some of these guys do play, they're not going to be 100% clearly. Although I think with the case of Bradley Roby and Reed Blankenship, who's their leading tackler at safety, they're probably not playing. And I think Slay's already out for this game. I think he might. I don't know. So.
And I think Brown is questionable. He might not play either.
Yeah, they got a lot of injuries in their secondary. So I think Miami will get their points. And I'm going to give, you know, I'm a believer in Vic. Vic Fangio is going to have, I think he's going to have himself a day here. And everyone who's been questioning what he's been doing this year, and I want to see more. You know, Vic's going to have a good day. And then on the plane ride home, have a plate of ravioli. I think I got Miami 31-28 in a nail biter. And here's a second hot take. I think Jason Sanders makes a big kick at the end of the game to win it.
Woo! I love it. I love it. Right leg of God back. All right. So I think the Dolphins offense is going to move the ball. I think the Dolphins offense is going to put up points. I think that Philadelphia secondary is very thin. It's very injured, but I worry about that Dolphins offensive line against this Philadelphia front. I don't think it's going to be as easy as a lot of people are thinking because of how thin the Eagles are in the secondary. I think the Eagles defensive line is going to have their presence felt in this game. But that said, I think that the Dolphins are going to put up points. So the onus is on the Dolphins to keep the Eagles under 30 points. I have a feeling, I want to believe so bad that the Dolphins are going to go into Philadelphia and get the win. I need this team to prove it. I need them to prove that they can win the big game before I start expecting them to win a big game, because the last time we've seen them in a big game, particularly on the road, they were getting their doors blown in. I think the Dolphins might outplay the Eagles. For some reason, I think that the Dolphins are going to lose this game 30-29, and that the difference in this game is going to be a couple of aggressive decisions to go for two. Okay. Once on a questionable decision, and then a second time on trying to make up for that questionable decision. And then at the end of the day, the Dolphins will lose by 1 point, 30-29. And the GOAT of the game is going to end up being Mike McDaniel. I hope I'm wrong. It's just a hunch. I feel like this Dolphins team is going to find a way to lose until they show me that they can win it. I've got the Eagles winning this one 30-29.
Mike McDaniel is a wild card because last year he had more than a few wacky decisions in games. This year, they've been so good on offense. There's been one or two, but nothing that would drive you nuts. But yeah, that is a wild card because Mike sometimes, look, we all like Mike McDaniel, but sometimes he wants to prove he's the smartest guy in the room. He has that trait. And sometimes in football, the smart play is the simple, boring play. And just, it's okay to punt every now and then. You know, it's not the end of the world. You don't have to go for two. You don't have to challenge something in the first half that's really like a low percentage challenge. Like sometimes you just don't have to do that stuff. Sometimes on 4th and 4, just kick the field goal. You don't have to try to get a score. It's like sometimes he does these wacky things. So yes, that is, you know what? That's a good one. It is a wild card with Mike because he's won a lot of games since he's been in Miami, a lot of regular season games. Now let's see him win some big games. And this is a good opportunity for him to do that.
Absolutely. And so I'll read a couple of last one hot takes here before we wrap things up. Newfoundland says Tua throws for three and rushes for one. We're talking tutties. Ray Finkel says 36-30 Miami. Hooked Up Joe says we dominate and make a statement. I hope that you guys are all right. There's a lot of positivity right now going into this game. It's very reminiscent of all the positivity that was going into that Buffalo game. Yeah. But I hope that this team backs it up. If they do, it's going to be a very fun and exciting time to be a Miami Dolphin. Even if they lose, it's still a very fun and exciting time to be a Miami Dolphin fan because – let's face it, even if they lose this game, it's not the end of the world. As long as they take care of business the following week against the Patriots, they'll be 6-2 going into a really massive game on a neutral field against the Kansas City Chiefs, the defending champions, with another chance to prove themselves. So I'm excited for how things are going to play out over these next 3 weeks, but it all starts this Sunday. So for Mike, I'm Aaron the Brain. For the entire Dolphins Talk family, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
Just win, baby.